to Reconquest on the Veritas Radio Network. I'm your host, Brother Andre Marie, coming to you from St. Benedict Center in Richmond, New Hampshire. This is the first of our show. This is actually the pilot of our show. So if you're hearing this, then it was deemed that the pilot was considered successful enough to run. So I have some things to explain during this first show, namely what it is we're doing, what's the point of Reconquest, the radio show, and also who this is that's speaking to you, and a little bit about me and us. And then we're going to dig right into our topic for the first show, which is sort of grand thematic, because it's going to discuss the reconquest of Spain, which was the epic struggle of the Spanish people to free themselves from Moorish dominion, from Muslim dominion, and it lasted the better part of 800 years. And that's a historical event or a series of events spanning almost 8 centuries, but it's also the theme for the entire show that we're going to have as a weekly show on the Veritas Radio Network. Veritas Radio Network is described, one of its mottos is where religion collides with politics, history, and culture. I'm going to tell you right from the front that I'm not going to talk about politics. Not partisan politics, anyway. I might every once in a while make some reference to politics as the way society ought to be governed, sort of as an ideal. But mostly what you're going to hear me talking about is that other thing that's not supposed to be spoken of, namely religion. And yes, it will be colliding with history and culture and all sorts of other things in this regular weekly show. The motto of this show on the Veritas Radio Network is seeking that which was lost and fighting for it. That's our motto, seeking that which was lost and fighting for it. It's very scriptural. You can do Google searches on online Bibles if you want to find little bits of that. But let me tell you what it means, basically. What's been lost? Well, the truth. We're on the Veritas Radio Network, and Veritas is truth. What's been lost to most people is the truth, the most important truths for us in this life, and also the most important truths for us to make it into the next life as a success. So we're going to talk about the truths that have been lost, the most important ones. We're also looking for people who are lost, people who are lost to the truth, or people who never heard the truth. So the truth isn't completely lost, it's just been obscured, the most important things, by all kinds of horrible things that are plaguing us all throughout modernity. And we're distracted by the media and entertainment and so forth from what are really the most important issues in our life. So that's what we're going to be doing, seeking that which was lost, namely truth, and people who don't have the truth. And we're going to be fighting for it, fighting for that truth, and also fighting for the benefit of those people who have been sort of ripped off of having the truth. Truth for us is more than just a what, though. For us, truth is a person. Truth is the person who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So yes, there will be a lot of religion in this program. Before I plow into my material for this first show, there's a few things I should probably say about myself, so you know maybe why you might want to listen to me, or at least why, before you turn me off, who it is you're turning off. My name is Brother Andre Marie, and I'm a Catholic religious brother in New Hampshire at the St. Benedict Center in Richmond, New Hampshire, which is in the southern part of the state called the Monadnock region. If you want to read my writings, they are found principally on the website catholicism.org, and that is the official website of the St. Benedict Center in Richmond, New Hampshire. If you're really bored, by the way, you can read my bio that's online there. Just click on the go to catholicism.org and search my name, Brother Andre Marie. My email address is bam@catholicism.org. That is bam@catholicism.org. Any kind of questions or comments or suggestions for future topics could be sent to me there. I can also be found easily on Twitter @brother_Andre. Again, @brother_Andre. and you can search me on Facebook, where I am also present. One last thing I should mention about myself before I proceed, and that is that some Mike Church fans who listen to the philosophy lectures that he recommends and frequently references in his program might know me as one third of the triumvirate of David Simpson, Mike Church, and Brother Andre, who host the regular Wednesday night philosophy group, the little online philosophy study class that we have. And right now, it's being run on the Veritas Radio Network. Previously, it was just sort of run through an internet broadcast thing, and there's a chat room that's associated with it. So we discuss philosophy on Wednesday nights, and I'm part of that. Our first show, as I said, is going to be introductory in nature, and it's going to be grand thematic. We're going to get into the theme of the Reconquest. What is the Reconquest? La Reconquista, as the Spanish call it, is Spain's very long, hard-fought casting off of the Muslim yoke that lasted from the year 711, when the first conquest, Islamic conquest, happened in Spain, until the year 1492, the time of Ferdinand and Isabella. That's 781 years, almost 800 years, almost eight full centuries. I'm going to touch in this program on just the very beginning. Our mission here on Reconquest, the radio show, is beautifully symbolized by the heroes, by the ideals, and by the epic struggle that was that reconquest, that reconquista of Christian Spain. After I introduce that topic this evening, it's evening here where I'm recording this, but after I introduce that topic, in the second segment, we're going to have as our guest Mr. Charles Colomb, an historian, a literary man, a lecturer, and a papal knight, who will discuss the Reconquest a little bit more. I have no idea where that is going to go, but it should be fun. Right now, though, I'm going to start by just narrating. So for the rest of my first segment here, I'm going to narrate to you the history of the very, very beginning of Spain's Reconquest. And if you want to find the text that you're about to hear, you can go to Catholicism.org and find a piece that I wrote called Don Pelayo Starts the Reconquest. Don Pelayo Starts the Reconquest. In the year 711, the Visigothic Kingdom of Spain fell to the invading Umayyad Muslim forces. This was due to the fateful victory of the Berber commander Tariq ibn Ziyad over the Visigothic forces in the Battle of Guadalete. Spain's monarch, King Rodrigo, was either killed in that battle or perhaps escaped to what is now Portugal. Either way, his tomb was discovered in Portugal sometime later. It was fellow Visigoths who, motivated by a petty political rivalry, betrayed their own people to the Muslims by revealing the kingdom's strategic vulnerabilities to the invader. Soon after city of the Iberian Peninsula fell to the invading Mohammedans, comprised of North African Berbers with some Arabs, and aided by their traitorous Visigothic allies. These Visigoths were Christians. Those who wanted to be free of alien dominion fled to the peninsula's northwest, to Asturias, where the enemy had not yet penetrated. Situated in the mountain range known as the Picos de Europa, the Peaks of Europe, part of the larger Cantabrian mountain range of northwestern Spain, Asturias is a rocky and austere place that did not much interest the invaders. It's very much known for its eagles, bears, wolves, and violent weather. One of the noblemen who fought in and survived the Battle of Guadalete was our subject, Pelayo. His Latin name, Pelagius, is identical to that of the heretic of three centuries earlier, who gave us the heresy of Pelagianism. Pelayo was the son of the Duke of Fafila, who had been killed by those traitorous Visigoths who were in league with the Muslims. A low character by the name of Vitiza was the murderer. Pelayo led the survivors of King Rodrigo's army to Asturias, where they met with other refugees. Chosen by the Visigothic nobility to be their prince, sometime in either 716 or 718, Pelayo assumed leadership of the army and began to resist the invaders, both by assaulting Umayyad military outposts and by refusing to pay the jizya, which is the tax on non-Muslims, to the new overlords of Spain. One of the ways that Muslims bring Christians and Jews into subjection, since officially they're not supposed to force convert them at the point of the sword as they can do with pagans. One of the things that they can do to bring the people of the book, as they call Christians and Jews, under subjection, is to basically tax us into poverty. So if they can do that, they will either impoverish their enemies or they'll make them apostatize and become Muslims. Sometime prior to the historic battle that made him worthy of our attention, Don Pelayo was chasing a criminal, apparently a member of his own army who had become unruly and fled, to bring him to justice. The fleeing man took refuge in one of the many caves of the area, which are among the deepest in the world. Pelayo caught up with him in the company of a hermit who had made the cave his oratory, having secreted there an image of the Blessed Virgin rescued from the iconoclastic fury of the invaders. Muslims, let us not forget, are very iconoclastic. They hate holy images. The hermit encouraged Pelayo to pardon the wayward soldier and promised that he would be rewarded for his clemency by a very great victory on that very spot, which was known, by the way, as Covadonga, from the Latin Cova Dominica, which means the cavern of the lady. The Umayyad conquerors wanted to rid themselves of this pocket of resistance led by Don Pelayo. And to accomplish this, in the summer of 722, they sent a large and well-trained army under the commander Alcama. Warned of the fact, Don Pelayo gathered his men at Covadonga. Accompanying the Muslim soldiers was a relative of the treacherous Vitiza, the murderer of Don Pelayo's father, Don Opas, the Bishop of Seville, or Sevilla, as they say in Spain. This unworthy successor of the apostles, he was a bishop, was a Muslim collaborator, and he went into the cave to encourage Pelayo to surrender. "Brother," he said, "I'm sure you labor uselessly. What good is it to put up resistance in this cave when all Spain and her armies, united under the power of the Goths, could not resist the momentum of the Ishmaelites?" Don't forget, the Arabs were descended from Ishmael, the other son of Abraham. So they're referred to by Christians sometimes as Ishmaelites. Continuing on with Don Opus's words, "Listen to my advice. Retreat to enjoy the many goods that were yours, at peace with the Arabs, as others do." End quote. To this, Pelayo replied, "I want no friendship with the Saracens, nor to be subject to their empire. Do you not know that the Church of God is compared to the moon, which, being eclipsed, returns again to its fullness? Trusting in the mercy of God, we know that from this mount will emerge the health of Spain." Skipping a bit, because I don't have to explain all the references here. He says, "We, having by counsel before God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, despise this multitude of pagans, in whose name you come. And by the intercession of the Mother of God, who is the Mother of Mercy, we believe that this people of the Goths, reduced to 105, must grow and increase as much as grains of a tiny mustard seed." End quote. Opus then told his overlords, "March forth into the cave and fight, for without the sword you will get nothing from him." By modern estimates, Alcama's Muslim forces numbered from 800 to 1400. Medieval accounts would seem to inflate that number by astronomical amounts. Against them, the Visigothic forces numbered 300. Now, in the passage we just read, it's at 105. The numbers vary in different accounts. Placing a number of his men high up in the cliffs so that they had a strategic advantage, Don Pelayo and another group of his soldiers stayed in the cave awaiting the arrival of the foe. I'm going to quote a Spanish author from a Spanish language website that I found to tell us what happened next. "They fought at the entrance to the cave with all sorts of weapons and a shower of stones. Then it was that God's power was manifest, favorable to ours and contrary to the Muslims, because the arrows and spears that the enemy launched returned to them and caused great harm among them. The enemy was astounded at such a miracle. Heartened and on fire with the hope of victory, the Christians emerged from the hideout, few in number, soiled and ragged, and engaged in a melee. They fell fiercely upon the enemy, who, thrown off balance, turned and ran. End quote. The other Christian soldiers, still strategically placed in the mountains, sent down boulders and trees upon the invaders who were trapped in the valleys. Add to this a storm that suddenly arose and a rout was in the making. The Muslims retreated to be pursued not only by the soldiers but also by local Christians who were emboldened to join the battle. According to one account, a mountain fell on them, sending many to their deaths in the Deva River. Alkama was killed and Don Opas, the treacherous bishop, was taken captive. With only 11 men left of Spain's fighters, including Pelayo, the cost of victory was a terrible one. Thus it was that Spain's long reconquest was begun. From the time of his victory in 722 until his death in 737, Pelayo fought in defense of the newly founded Kingdom of Asturias, which the Muslims never managed to subjugate. When he died peacefully, Pelayo was buried next to his wife, Gaudiosa, whose name, appropriately enough, means joyful, sort of a symbol of what Spain was after the reconquest was finally completed. They were both buried in the cave of Covadonga. One can make a pilgrimage to their tombs. The epitaph on his tomb reads, "Here lies the holy king, Don Pelayo, elected in the year 716, who in this miraculous cave began the restoration of Spain." So that, in a nutshell, is the very beginning of the reconquest of Spain, the very beginning of La Reconquista. In a little bit, when we come to discuss this with Charles Colomb, we're gonna talk about what might be some of his favorite episodes from the reconquest of Spain. But before we get to that, I want to unpack a few little things for us here. There's some things to meditate on this. We can derive some great lessons from this. It's like a parable. First, we must perseveringly fight against our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Even when the battle seems impossible, it may be a long war. It doesn't matter, just begin it. The war that Don Pelayo started when he refused to pay the jizya, when he refused to allow himself and his people to be subjugated to the Muslims, that war continued for almost 800 years and was successful. And at the end of that success, Spain endured a very long time known as the Siglo de Oro, the golden age of Spanish culture, which is an age of great religious fervor and artistic accomplishment, as well as intellectual stimulation. Another lesson that we can take is that we must take refuge in our own little covadongas, our own little caverns of the lady, namely our hearts and our homes, which we should transform into hermitages at times, there to honor the Blessed Virgin, and through her to enjoy intimate union with the source of all victory, our Lord Jesus Christ the King and his Father and their Holy Ghost. That hermit that Don Pelayo found in the cave is a figure. He was a real person, an historical person, but he stands also as a symbol of the interior life that we must take to this battle, to this reconquest of civilization on behalf of Christ the King and Mary the Queen. We must also show mercy along with other Christian virtues, as Don Pelayo did. His clemency toward the refugee helped him to gain the victory. Remember the prophecy that was given him by that hermit, that on this very spot, his clemency would be rewarded by a great victory. Another lesson we can take from this is that we must never fear humble beginnings. They are the best. Humble beginnings. Because without humility, you can do nothing. Without humility, you are nothing. We must also expect traitors, even among the bishops. Don Opas has many of a modern antitype. Huh? Don Opas was a traitorous bishop. Do not heed the calls for compromise with the enemy from traitors. Keep going, keep fighting. That's another lesson, the last one that we're going to have time to discuss now. And in a few moments, we're going to be joined by Charles Colomb. Again, this is Brother Andre Marie. You are listening to Reconquest on the Veritas Radio Network. We'll be back from the break in a few minutes.
You're listening to Reconquest with Brother Andre Marie, seeking that which was lost and fighting for it. Exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.